Okay. So,
Rabbi Friedman, I'd like to speak to you after.
Yeah. sick memories. There's a very famous Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, which actually, it entered the Israeli lexicon, just a general Israeli lexicon. So 3 years ago, I was watching the funeral of Shimon Peres, and people were parting from the last of Israel's founding fathers, the last of the what we call Dor Tashach, the generation of 1948. So they're interviewing somebody who was not a religious person, for their reaction to his passing. So the person said, "Chaval al da'avdin udulo mishtakhin." Which is actually a line of the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. So I was like, what? How did he know that? So it turns out it's just part of the Israeli idiom. It means literally, woe to us for losing those who cannot really be replaced. We don't find their replacement. So this is one of the very beautiful things, obviously, about the modern state of Israel, is that, Talmudic, Tanakh we take for granted. Okay, Tanakh, it's Hebrew. But you don't appreciate how much of the Talmud, how much of the Gemara is part of Israeli culture. I get a kick out of it every night when I watch the. We have our. Everybody's got their routine at home. So, I cook. So I wash the dishes. When I'm washing the dishes, so I always watch. The nightly news in Israel. It's already the middle of the night, but I watch like the 8 o'clock news. So they, at the end, they do the sports. So they say, Poel Petach Tikva against Maccabi Haifa zeistayim b'teku. Means it was a tie. So teku is the Talmudic expression for an unresolved dispute. So we should just appreciate how much of this is part of the how much it's made its way into just the general culture. It was a great source of pride for me. Anyway, what is the context of the Gemara? So the Gemara is based on an interaction that Moshe has with Hashem at the end of Parshat Shemot, going into Parshat Va'era, which we read this past Shabbat, where Moshe is very frustrated. He went to Paro on God's instructions. Remember, Moshe did not exactly apply for the job, and he tried numerous arguments to evade having to go back to Egypt. Rashi says that he held out for a whole week, which is a long time to, hold out against Hashem. And in the end, he's not given a choice, and God twists his arm to go back. And he goes into Paro, and he says that they want to have the religious festival and the Midbar for Shlosh Yamim. And Paro, gets very angry. Mi Hashem asher shema b'kolel, lo yadati ad Hashem, gam mid Yisrael lo ashalech. The whole thing goes very badly. But what makes it really bad is that Paro says, because you have the chutzpah to, come in here and tell me what to do with my avadim, so I'm going to make their lives much worse. So Paro was a very wicked man, but he was no idiot. He was very smart. So if you have some kind of a brewing rebellion on your hand, what do you want to do? You want to divide the, leader of this rebellion from the people. So how do you turn the people against Moshe? Say, this guy is making things worse for you. And so he took away the tevin, the straw, right? So Moshe is really upset. Moshe says, look, I don't want this job to begin with. Right? Moshe says that, the moment that you sent me to Paro, and things have only gotten worse, and you haven't rescued your people. And lama zeh shlachtani. So why did you, force me to do this? And the response that Hashem gives is, "Ata tira et asher asad lefaro." Now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Faro. Ki v'yad chazakah yishalchem, v'yad chazakah yigarshem mi'artzo. That I'm going to use a yad chazakah, and Paro will be forced to let the Jewish people go. And that's where Parshat Va'era picks up. Vayidaber lehim al Moshe, vayomer elav ani Hashem. Vayidaber, Rashi says, diberi to mishpat, that he took Moshe to task, and he went really ballistic, and he says, "Vayira al Avraham Yitzchak v'Yakov v'El Shaddai, Shmi Adonai lo nodati lahem." Which basically the Gemara takes to mean, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov had all these challenges in their lives, and they weren't, busy saying lama zesh lachtani, and woe is me, and why me, and why are you doing this to me? They accepted. They accepted. So I said to Avram, for example, "Ki v'Yitzchak yikare l'chazara," that Yitzchak is your future, and therefore send away Ishmael. And then the next minute I'm telling him, not exactly the next minute, I'm dramatizing, but the next minute I say to him, "Et binchat yechidchat Yitzchak, ve'alei usham le'ola." And I didn't see Avram saying, you know, what's going on here. And so that's where the Gemara says, Chaval al da'avdin edulo mishtakrin. Where God says, woe is me, you know, I used to have to work with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and now look what I have over here. You know, I have not from the A-team, okay? So that's the context of the Gemara. So there are really a couple of questions that I wanted to explore, you know, in the context of this Gemara. You know, which obviously is very critical of Moshe, you know, that he was... not made of the same stuff, sug aleph, as we would say, as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The question is really true. You know, again, back in Parshat Lech Lecha, after Avram had been promised many times, Zarecha etena ta'aretz, Avram is holech ariri, he complains to Hashem, uven meshek beiti udamesek Eliezer, I don't have a yoresh. So where is your promise? Not only that, but then he says a few psukim later, "Bamai daki rashena." According to the Gemara in Masachet Nedarim on Daf Lamed Bet, Avram is doubting God and saying, "You know, how can I know that you know what you're saying is really true?" Was one of the reasons that the Zerah, the children of Avram Avinu, were subjected to slavery in Egypt altogether. So, in other words, it does seem like they questioned God at times. And they did have their failures. They did have their moments. The Ramban says, Ramban we've spoken about in the past, that the very fact that when he first came to Eretz Canaan, the Torah tells us, Vayira'av ba'aretz, Vayir Avram Yitzram elagursham ki chaveda ra'av ba'aretz. So the Ramban says, Avram Avinu chata chit gadol, bishgaga. He wasn't trying to sin, but it was a terrible failure of emunah that he broke down. He should have recognized kiyesh koach belokim lahatzil, that God didn't tell him to leave Canaan, that this was a test, and that God would protect him. And also to put Sarai in such a terrible situation where she would be abducted by Paro. What's the excuse for that? That was also a terrible thing. So wasn't as if Avram was had a perfect record all the time. So why is Moshe getting such significant criticism? Chaval al da'avdin u'dulo mishtachin is a very serious criticism. Number one. Number two is if we go back and look at Moshe's complaint, so to speak, his complaint doesn't sound like he's saying something terrible or so terrible. What does he say? Umeyaz bati al paro ledaber bishmecha. From the moment that I came to paro to speak in your name, hey ra la'am hazeh ve'atzelo itzalta damecha. He's not complaining for himself. He's not saying, you know, you took away my good life in Midian. That doesn't seem to be his point. His point is that he's upset that he's causing the Jewish people suffering. It's a terrible feeling to have as a leader that you're making things worse for people that you're trying to help. This is such a terrible thing that he cared about the suffering of the Jewish people. Hey, ra lam azev, etzelo itzalta tamecha. Such a bad thing to say. He's upset. He feels badly for the people. So we have to, you know, sort of understand what exactly the criticism was. How is it legitimate for the Gemara to be so critical of Moshe relative to Avraham, to Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So before we answer the question, I just want to add one more question. The questions ultimately help us. So it's just, this is like, you know, supply-side economics. Okay, you just, you know, we're adding questions now because this will pay off in the long term. So the Gemara equally says, same Gemara, that when Hashem said, Ata tira et asher esel faro, that the Gemara says, Ata tira et asher esel faro, velo l'shloshim ve'achad mlachim. But you will not see what I will do to the 31 kings of Canaan. In other words, this is it, Moshe. You're going to witness Yitziat Mitzrayim, but you will not witness the Knisa l'Eretz Yisrael. So bam, like this was like an irreparable kind of a thing. So what is that all about? Okay. So, I don't think there's necessarily one answer to this question, but I think it does have to do with an earlier conversation that Hashem had with Moshe earlier in Parshat Shemot, when Moshe was on the way back from Midian to Mitzrayim after he had been forced to return to Mitzrayim. It's a whole journey, it's an altogether strange journey. But does anybody happen to remember what Moshe is told during this journey? I have to say that for myself, I for decades overlooked what I think is the importance of this conversation. I know somehow I never really internalized its import in the story. So if anybody happens to remember, you'll be a better woman than I, you know. So Hashem actually says to Moshe that he's not going to listen to you. We missed that part of the story. People don't remember that part of the story. Like I said, I overlooked it for many years. It just happens very quickly that as Moshe's journeying back, God tells him, Paro's not going to listen to you. Lo yitein etchem melech Mitzrayim laloch velo biyad chazaka. And not even after I start to pound him. And it's going to come to the point where hinei anochi horeg et bincha bechorecha, where it's actually going to have to come to makat bechorot. So Moshe was actually given the script before the play happened. What's that?
Wasn't it last week?
It's in Parshat Shemot, so yeah, a week before Shabbat.
Right?
Yeah, it's there. I'm not making it up.
No,
so
totally.
It's totally there. It's totally there. It's still there. It was always there. So this actually seems to me a very critical part of the analysis. I think it's an extremely important part of the story. In other words, I don't think objectively Moshe's reaction was out of bounds. But Moshe had actually been told in advance that it wasn't going to work right away. So when he comes to God after it fails, you know, and he says, Me'az barti al parola daber bishmecha, heira lamazev atzelo itzalta demecha, like he's angry and surprised that things aren't working out right away, there is something problematic about that. Again, I don't think it would have been an inappropriate reaction in a vacuum, in the objective sense, but given that God had prepared him for this, God didn't want him to be surprised. So, you know, Moshe was in some sense, failing to internalize God's message to him that this was going to have to be a process. And he wanted a kind of an immediate result, and he was demonstrating a certain kind of a character trait that God did find objectionable, namely a lack of patience. In other words, if you know in advance that something isn't going to work, and then it doesn't work, the only reason to get upset is if you don't have the patience to see the process through. So if that's true, then I think three points emerge. I'll just lay out my theory and then just open it up to any questions. I think there are three basic points that support this premise, this reading of why it was that God was so critical of Moshe, why the Gemara says, Chaval al da'avdin udelo mishtachin. So what's really interesting about it is the following. Three things. One, in this speech at the beginning of Va'era, where it says, Va'iral Abraham el Yitzchak v'Yalkov v'Kel Shakai v'Shmi Hashem l'Nadati lahem, what immediately follows? What we call the Lishonot Shel Geula. So where God tells Moshe, you know what's going to happen now is, V'hotzeti etchem mitachat zivlot Mitzrayim, v'itzalti etchem avodatam, v'galti etchem Yisrael netuya, v'shvatim gidolim, v'lakachti etchem li la'am, v'hayiti lachem l'Elohim, v'hebeti etchem el ha'aretz. So all of the Lishonot Shel Geula, the Yerushalmi famously says, that's why we have four cups on Pesach, v'hotzeti v'itzalti, v'galti v'lakachti. So what God is really telling Moshe is that Geula, redemption, is not like a, you know, it takes place in 10 seconds. There are stages, there are phases. So again, if the whole issue is that Moshe was lacking in patience, then it makes a great deal of sense for God's response to be, yeah, you have to understand that this is not going to be just an overnight thing. V'hotzeti, and then there's a stage called V'hitzalti. Then there's another stage called V'ga'alti. Then there's Lakachti. And then many years later, there will be V'eveti etchem el ha'aretz. It's not overnight. So that, I think, works out very, very well. We have the introduction of the Lishonot of Geula. Point number one. Point number two is, if you look at the, again, primary source, if you look at the Gemara itself, all of the ways that the Gemara seems to be contrasting Moshe with the Avot is that God says to them, I promised them, it wasn't like I broke my promise, but I didn't fulfill it in their lifetime, right? Avram never got to see his descendants as a nation occupying and living in the land of Israel. Same thing with Yitzchak, same thing with Yaakov. In other words, it seems to be highlighting the difference in terms of their ability to have a promise made and to live the duration of their lives without seeing that promise fulfilled. So it seems, again, to be highlighting Moshe's lack of patience. And then third and finally, I think this is sort of like the most significant proof, is to go back to that other piece of the Gemara that I mentioned. Okay, Moshe, you're going to see Yitziat Mitzrayim, but you will not merit seeing entry into the land of Canaan. So that's a strange Gemara, because the Torah says why Moshe wasn't able to go into Eretz Canaan and lead the Jewish people. It had nothing to do with this, but it was all about which sin? Me Meriva, exactly. So the way that I would interpret the Gemara is that God says to Moshe, I see the character trait that will ultimately be your downfall. Because what happened at Me Meriva? So Moshe lost his patience. Shimuna ha-morim ha-minasela hazeh notzi lachem mayim. And he lost the patience to deal. Remember, this is with the second generation. He had been through this all once before, and he had just had it. And he wasn't prepared to deal with it anymore. And he, you know, either gets angry or impatient or impulsive, whatever it is. He hits the rock, doesn't peek through. They all sort of get at the same point, where there's a lack of ability to be patient with people. So it wasn't like the Gemara was saying, oh, because of this one comment, he lost the right to go into the land of Israel. But God said, if you're not going to, you know, sort of cultivate this characteristic of patience, of things taking time, so then you're not going to make it into the land of Israel, because there will be plenty of opportunities for things to go wrong between now and then. So again, I don't think it was objectively inappropriate for Moshe to be crestfallen and frustrated, and even to say to God, "Lama zeh shelachtani," if it was going to make things worse for the people. But if God already told him that that was going to be the temporary outcome and that he would have to be patient, number one, and if God is responding with the lishonot shel geula, which tell us that redemption doesn't happen overnight, that this is a process, that things take time, that you can't just expect things to turn around in a moment. And then, of course, finally, this idea of Moshe, unfortunately, never apparently having corrected this point, atatira itashar asele faro, velo le-shloshim bechad melachim, and the story of Me Meriva, so then I think it becomes like an extremely important lesson. Moshe wasn't any less than the Avot, but everybody has a certain characteristic that can be, you know, a point of weakness. And not having the requisite amount of patience, which is required, can sometimes be very, very limiting. I think especially doing what we do every single day, you know, we are people for whom the coin of the realm is incremental progress. Okay, and we should be very happy when our students experience incremental progress. And incremental progress, by the way, doesn't mean that they get a little bit better every single day. That would be easy. But that means that there's a lot of, you know, a lot of mm-hmm. steps backwards, and there's a lot of static. But incremental progress means that when you look at it, you know, aerial view, so to speak, you can see that there's a positive trajectory. I guess we're getting close to Martin Luther King Day, so I'll borrow something he said about morality and transfer it into the educational world. You know, the educational arc of the student's universe is long, but it should bend towards progress. That's what it is that we're looking for. And it's important, because Moshe should obviously, you know, from the very beginning have known that God wasn't sending him on a mission that was going to be completed overnight. And try to internalize this message. The strength of the Avot of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov relative to Moshe in this regard, Chaval al da'avden u'dilo mishtakchen, is that they could be told things that would happen, you know, generations from now, and that was going to have to be good enough for them. And apparently, it was, you know, for the absolute most part, good enough for them. And Moshe, this becomes a characteristic that, as the Gemara notes, he never fully addresses, and that's why we have Me Meriva, that becomes, I think, at least one viable interpretation of this Gemara, Chaval al da'avdin u'delo mishtakhan. Yes, so I think Susan